Ahoy, mateys! This is Captain Spike. With me, as always, is my first mate, Slagkick.
Yo-ho!
Welcome to episode 4 of Game Buoy, where we talk about gaming news that is maybe not on your radar, but most definitely should be.
Yes, and by the way, I wasn't saying yo-ho like yo-ho a pirate's life for me. I was calling you a whore. I hope you got that.
I bet you were. You're a real slut. I'd like to punch you in the vagina.
And that's why you're a whore.
So, you know, it's funny that we're starting things off this way, because our topic for tonight, and, you know, we'll get to that a little later, but I just want to tell you, our topic for tonight is going to be the exact opposite of pirates who call each other whore. We're going to be talking about Nintendo. More specifically, we're going to be defending Nintendo. You might not be aware of this out there. You know, probably you are. You have ears and eyes. But Nintendo kind of gets a really bad rap, and we wanted to, you know, Slykick and I were both devout Nintendo followers, unabashedly biased, and we sort of wanted to look into why do people feel this way? Why do these negative connotations about Nintendo exist? And the perfect lens through which to do that is to look back retrospectively at the life of the Wii, you know, 2 weeks before the Wii U is finally coming out of the closet.
Yay! Well, you said coming out of the closet, so...
Of course.
Which means it better come in hot pink.
But first off, you know, as always, we want to do a couple of follow-up points. First off, as of this week, Monster World 4 is finally live on all three of the current-gen platforms. The Wii, the Xbox 360, and the PS3. Interestingly, you buy it as a separate purchase on both the Wii and the PS3. On the Xbox, it actually comes in a package with Monster Land, the arcade original Monster World spin-off series of the Wonder Boy series, which has never actually come out in English before, as, you know, much like Monster World 4, as we talked about in our first episode. And also comes with Wonder Boy in Monster World 3, which we talked about also in that first episode, is probably my favorite Genesis game of all time. So that's some real good stuff. On the 360, it's that package. So...
Yeah, I'll have to check that out, because I need something retro that's not Sonic 4, which is a big shit.
Oh, man. Sonic 4 Episode 2. I am so disappointed. That is the second most disappointing thing that Sega has done this week.
Well, you know, Sega lives to disappoint, so...
Yeah, seriously.
And now, you liked Episode 1 of Sonic 4 to the degree, right?
I did, actually. I got a lot out of it. You know, ultimately, I got... Super Sonic unlocked, I got all the Chaos Emeralds, I finished Eggman at the very end. I guess I liked it a lot. This new one, man, it is floptacular. It's worse than Christina Aguilera's Bionic record. Like, it's bad.
Should we blame Tails?
I think we should blame everything on Tails, yeah.
Yeah.
You had something you wanted to follow up on, yeah?
Yeah, actually, the day we posted episode 3, that evening a documentary came out on YouTube, and it was actually a fan-made documentary by a Mass Effect fan who compiled all the evidence he could find about indoctrination theory, which we talked about on episode 1. And the interesting thing is that he even went through, like, all of the current theories going around and... You know, said whether there was enough evidence to support it, or if that theory could, part of the theory could be debunked, or if it is questionable. But, I mean, overall, he still concluded that there is strong evidence supporting that. And it's almost 90 minutes, so if...
I was going to ask that.
You gotta really be a big Mass Effect fan and be willing to put that time in. But if you're interested in seeing more about that and you haven't checked it out yet... It is from Clever Noob Network, but you can find it on YouTube. We will link
and
it.
And we'll link it on our website, of course. What's that website?
BigBoobs.net. No, actually, it's GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
Yeah, we did not change our URL to BigBoobs.net.
bitch, if this, one person, at least one person is going to go to bigboobs.net. If you out there in Radio Land go to bigboobs.net because of Slagkick and you get like spyware or something, you have my permission to angrily tweet at him. What is our Twitter?
Twitter.com/GameBuoyPodcast.
Twitter.com/GameBuoyPodcast.
Well, I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm going to look up bigboobs.net after the show. But
I'm not, because I like not being keylogged.
All right, so let's go ahead and move on.
Yeah, I think it's time for a very special segment, one that I think everyone loves and appreciates.
News. Oh my god, news.
So, Captain Spike, what news are you serving up for us tonight?
I'm coming at you with some Capcom development cycle couture. Capcom has stated that, you know, with the release of DMC took, you know, 4.5 years.
And people are still complaining about it.
And, yeah, well, I'm complaining about it. It looks like a piece of crap. But, and, you know, but Resident Evil 6 has, what, like a 2.5 year development time, I believe. And Capcom is saying now that they'd like to stick to a 2.5 year development time for quote-unquote, all key franchises. And I think that's interesting, you know, because Capcom gets quite a rap. In the last fiscal year, you know, they had multiple releases of several of their titles and pseudo-sequels to same titles, by which I mean, you know, Street Fighter, Super Street Fighter 4 and Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade, or Marvel vs. Capcom 3 and Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3. So they get a lot of slack for this. And I actually think, from that perspective, that setting a 2.5 year development cycle, that's actually pretty good. I really like to bag on developers that sort of do the annual release thing. I think unless you're Ubisoft working on Assassin's Creed, that's generally a bad idea.
And honestly, I think the only reason that they did that was because they had made the story all about, oh, 2012 and the possible end of the world. And, you know, they kind of were like, oh, if we release it after that, it's, you know, not going to be relevant. But I think the Assassin's Creed franchise is a very rare case.
Well, yeah,
where a game didn't turn out absolute shit, and they've been
Brotherhood really was fast. Good. Revelations or whatever was great. I'm really excited for 3. Yeah, they've had annual releases, and I think they've made them work. I don't think they've had a stinker yet.
Well, except for 1, in your opinion.
Well, oh yeah, I thought that was probably one of the worst games of the generation. That was Sonic 4 Episode 2 bad.
Yeah, I mean, Capcom... I mean, this is good news, because, I mean, Capcom is probably still one of the few companies left that, I don't know, that I actually still look forward to things coming out from.
And, you know, they've had their fair share of fuckery this generation. You know, a lot of on-disc DLC, and we talked a little bit about that previously. You know, I understand why, from an engineering perspective, it is advantageous to have that content on the disc, and I think specifically in the Street Fighter Cross Tekken case, you know, it made sense for them to do that, but they've had a lot of fuckery with DLC and what have you, so I'm still overall happy for Capcom. I still overall like them, but I sort of have a warning signal up with them. But this specific choice and statement, I think, sends a very positive message. You know, we're going to do releases, we're going to do sequels, but we're going to space them out a little bit so that they can be good products.
Yeah, and I mean, let's see if Square could take a page from this book.
Womp womp. If Square's version of this would be, yeah, we're going to have 7.5 years between installments.
So, another company that's been around for a while has some news going on, right?
Well, Konami has posted a teaser site for what appears to be a new Castlevania game.
Oh, really? No, I actually knew that, but I was trying to be playing the part of the surprise listener.
Of course. And, you know, the interesting thing is that there have been rumors about a new Castlevania game popping up a lot in the last month or so. And some speculation had it pegged as a 3DS game. And of course, the hope for most of us is that if it is a 3DS game, that it's in the vein of sort of the Igarashi-developed Metroidvanias, you know, the 2D, sprite-based sort of adventure action RPG games. And that's certainly my hope, if I'm being honest. But,
I mean, yeah, I think so. But I mean, I guess I could elaborate more later. Why don't you finish?
Based on the teaser, it actually looks more like a straight-up sequel.
Huh.
So, I mean, certainly I hope the rumored 3DS game still pans out, but maybe we're going to have a new console 3D Castlevania game.
What did you think about that last one that came out?
I'm a hardcore Castlevania fan, and I'd say the first third of that game really, really irritated me. It felt sort of like a generic God of War clone in a fantasy gothic setting.
Yeah.
But the later part of the game, there were some really just classic Castlevania set pieces. There's one level in particular, and I'm not going to spoil it for y'all, but it involves music and jumping on gear work. And anyone who's played Castlevania since at least Castlevania 3 on the NES will tell you that's pretty much like a core tenet of Castlevania. Jumping on giant gears and music. So, the game came together. It really proved itself to be a Castlevania game, and I would be cautiously optimistic about a sequel.
Yeah, because I watched... I didn't actually play it, but I watched a good deal of it when a guy I was dating at the time was playing it when it had just come out. And it looked all right. I mean, it didn't look, like, iconic or anything.
No, but, it did not set the world on fire for good reason. But it was solid. Ultimately, it was a Castlevania game, I felt. And, I'd be interested in seeing what else they can do.
Yeah, I mean, although I think I would prefer a 3DS Metroidvania type of game. I think we're really in need of something like that. I mean, you've seen what new Super Mario Brothers, both the DS and the Wii versions, have done. I'm still waiting for a new Metroid game to be released in that vein.
Yeah, well, you know, there's the ever-present rumors of, you know, Metroid Dread, and for some reason it's gaining a lot of traction this year that this E3 will be the year of a new 2D Metroid. But, interesting, one of the big rumors, and we'll get to this a little later, one of the big rumors going around right now is that Retro Studios, who made the Metroid Prime games, are currently working on a Metroid Star Fox crossover game.
I would play it.
The look on your face right now, dude.
I'm just imagining Samus curling up into a ball and then hearing, "Do a barrel roll!"
Oh, shit. Okay, I actually... And we'll talk about this later.
Yeah,
but I'd buy it. I'd buy it. But Metroid Dread, you know, it doesn't even have to be called that. I just would really like another 2D Metroid game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. And as far as Castlevania, which is what we're actually talking about right now, you know, I think that because Castlevania is, like, you know, a long-lasting franchise, pretty well-loved, I think if it was to have a really well-received 3DS game in the style, that would encourage other, you know, studios to be like, okay, maybe we could, maybe this would be worthwhile to invest in, because people are clearly into this.
Yeah.
On the other hand, all this could be as likely as the chance that we'll see a 2D sort of Zelda that isn't like a Four Swords thing.
On the plus side, you know what game is a Metroidvania? Monster World 4. I'm serious, guys. Download it. It's super good.
We are not being paid by them or anything?
No. No one's giving me any kickback. I'm just really passionate about good games.
Yeah. So, before we move on to our discussion topic, you said...
I actually have one more news story.
Yeah, because you had said that Sega putting out Sonic 4 was the second most disappointing thing to happen.
If you've been listening to this podcast, you probably know how much I fucking love Platinum games. Bayonetta, Vanquish, Mad World, these games are basically what I am a gamer for. So imagine my surprise and disappointment when I saw that Sega had removed Anarchy Reigns from their release schedule in the
US.
Oh,
hell no.
We're talking about a motherfucking brawler in the style of sort of a Power Stone or Spawn in the Demon's Hand that also starred motherfucking characters from Bayonetta and Mad World.
Yeah, and since we're probably never going to see a Bayonetta 2, that probably would have been our only chance to see Bayonetta, aside from going back and playing the original game.
So, we don't have, like, a fuck you of the week or anything, but if we did, you'd be getting it, Sega. Get shit together, release the games that people actually want, and stop trying to push shit like Binary Domain that nobody asked for.
Yeah, and, stop putting out so many Sonic games.
Yeah, I mean, or just make them good. Sonic Generations was a step in the right direction.
Yeah, which is made it so surprising that Sonic 4 Episode 2 turned out to be such a pile of shit, because I thought, hey, with Generations actually being legit, maybe we are...
I thought that too, and then it turned out to be worse than Episode 1. Like, Star Wars Episode 1. Anyway.
That was our...
News. Oh my god, news.
So let's go ahead and get started on our discussion this week.
So, in defense of Nintendo, this is going to be a discussion in three parts.
And no, you're not listening to NPR right now.
But if you were, we'd be better spoken, so, I mean, it works out.
Indie rock interludes in between each segment.
And then we beg you for donation money. We're in the wrong gig.
Pretty much.
I want to get this clear. Before we go into this conversation, I fucking love Nintendo. I'm not going to wax too philosophical on the specifics, but I do love Nintendo. I am very much a pro-Nintendo person. My biases are outright pro-Nintendo. So, that is sort of where I'm coming from. I love Sony. I like Microsoft. I love my 360. So, you know, but I love my Wii, I love Nintendo, I love my GameCube, I love my DS and my 3DS, and all of them. I fucking love it all.
I definitely echo those sentiments, aside from the Sony love. I mean, I'm the same way. I think that if it wasn't for Nintendo, I wouldn't be a gamer, probably. I mean, maybe so, but not with, like, the passion that I have for it. I could really go into it, but then I'd be, like, doing a biography of my life viewed through the lens of being a Nintendo gamer, and then we'd really be an NPR show, and I don't think that's what we're aiming to do tonight, so just suffice it to say that, yeah, Nintendo, I've grown up with Nintendo, like NES, SNES, N64, GameCube, and Wii, so, and all the various handhelds, aside from Virtual Boy.
My Virtual Boy is about 3 feet away, and it's just like, hey guys!
Anyway,
So, first discussion point. I want to look back at the Wii. First mate slide kick. Why don't you tell me, looking back, what were your favorite games on the Wii?
Oh my god, I don't even really know what to start. I mean, starting with the, the in-house developed games, Galaxy... Mario Kart Wii, even though I didn't think the tracks for Kart Wii were my favorite in the series so far, like, just the playstyle of it was pretty much a game changer. As far as other games, No More Heroes.
Oh, that's a good one. I hadn't even thought about that.
Definite, top of my Wii gaming experience.
Fuckhead!
Yeah, No More Heroes is just, like, really, was really, like, a surprise hit.
What did you think of No More Heroes 2?
I actually haven't played it yet.
It's a good game.
I know that sounds like, well, why aren't you playing it? And the answer is because I'm playing another playthrough of Mass Effect and Diablo, but, anyway, yeah. I mean, and that's just off the top of my head. I mean, there's just been a lot more for the Wii than people give it credit for. I mean, yes, for every No More Heroes, there's 5 generic Waggle games. But the fact is that there's games like No More Heroes coming out for Wii. So, I mean, you know, I think that we're going to get into that a little bit more about, like, the perception from the more core gamer community about how they've viewed the Wii and Nintendo in general, but I mean, I don't know. If it takes selling generic Waggle games for me to get my Mario Galaxy and my new Super Mario Brothers Wii, and well, I could do without Twilight Princess, but you know what I'm saying.
Skyward Sword.
Yeah. Skyward Sword, oh my god, yeah, I need to put more time into that. I mean, what a beautiful work of art.
You know, and I think it's worth mentioning because, you know, I want to, rather than give you my own list, I then want to augment and supplement yours because there's this perception that the Wii has a very limited number of games and a limited, sort of style of games. So I just want to point out some of my favorite Wii games. In addition to what you just said, you know, Mad World was definitely a favorite of mine. Fucking Xenoblade, which, you know, I've heard people say that it's basically a late-gen PS2 game.
I've also heard people say that it's a big pile of dung.
Like, seriously, guys, I appreciate it's not for everyone. It has, quote-unquote, last-gen graphics. I'd argue that. I don't agree with it. But on face value, I can see where the graphics are a bit rougher than what you
and
might be used
gonna
to.
And we're going to get into that in a little bit. We're going to get into that, trust me.
But
please continue.
I think it's really worth mentioning that this game, in scale alone, it's massive. I mean, there are sort of these really beautiful vistas all throughout the game that just really took my breath away. And the main story, I've run through it a couple times now, and it's been like 65 hours of playthrough.
That's very respectable.
Like, I don't know, I can't think of any late-life PS2 game where the main story was that long or worth playing for that long. You know, possibly accepting Final Fantasy XII if you choose to do...
Which I was just going
to
say.
...all of the, you know, hunts and what have you. But to be spoken of in the same breath as Final Fantasy XII...
That's pretty high praise.
That's high praise. I appreciate that in Xenoblade, you know, the first 10 hours or so before you've unlocked all the abilities of the Monado weapon and, you know, so on and so forth, it's a little slow, but... The game really goes somewhere. It's quite impressive. Another favorite of mine would be Tatsunoko vs. Capcom, which was sort of the revival of the, you know, the versus style of fighting game that, you know, Capcom hadn't made any of these versus games in a while, and then they released one. It was a fucking crossover with a Japanese animation studio, and it sort of brought this entire genre back. And, you know, everyone looks now at Marvel vs. Capcom 3, but I don't know that that game would exist if not for Tatsunoko vs. Capcom. So, you know, there was also the Fatal Frame games on Wii, which, you know, unfortunately I don't think have made it out here yet, but my understanding is that we're going to start getting those soon. And they are just some real spooky shit. Without putting too fine a point on it, I think the most terrifying moments of my life as a horror gamer were with those Fatal Frame Wii games. And in addition, you know, there was Silent Hill Shattered Memories, which, it gets some hate, but for my dollar, was probably my favorite Silent Hill game so far. Even more than Silent Hill 2 and 3, honestly.
And I mean, I think you bring up some interesting. Your titles bring up some interesting points because, you know, you were saying that people tend to write off, oh, it's just Mario games and that shit. But no, we've seen games with violence and F-bombs, No More Heroes. We've got horror games. And, I mean, not that we didn't see that sort of thing in the past. I mean, we had Conker's Bad Fur Day. There was, like, GoldenEye and stuff. So, I mean, it's not like there weren't mature games for past consoles by Nintendo. But, I mean, really, I mean, you're still seeing that, and even probably to a larger degree, with the Wii, and with the hopes that that's going to continue with Wii U, so.
Let's see, well, did you have any, and this is sort of a weird question, but if you do have any, you'll know what I'm asking. Did you have any favorite moments, sort of, when in the media blitz of the Wii?
You know, I just loved the fact that when we're looking at, wow, 5-6 years ago at this point, almost 7 years ago, but when it was building up to the Wii, and I mean, the funny thing is we're seeing this with the Wii U, people are like, wow, that's really cool, but then they'd find something to pick on, like the graphics, or the fact that it wasn't as powerful as the PS3. But then they'd be like, oh my god, it's so cool, we just got our Wiis, and we camped out for them, and then it's like, oh, but it's just Waggle. So just like this bouncing back and forth is really entertaining to watch, because, I don't know, they feel like they have to recognize the awesomeness, but then cater to sort of that, you know, Kotaku fan base who would be like, oh no, dude, it looks like dung. So just watching that and seeing it again with the Wii U, which is almost kind of relevant to our discussion today. And
And this is sort of a more abstract personal question. What was your favorite moment with your Wii in the last generation?
Well, when I whipped it out, no, just kidding. You know, there were a lot, but I would have to say that, you know, just like some of the times that I've hung out with you and our friends playing like Boom Blocks and things like that, where, you know, you wouldn't really.
We had a conversation about our favorite motherfucking Wii games, and we didn't talk about Boom Blocks.
Yeah, Boom Blocks was a lot of fun.
Boom. And fucking Just Dance?
Yeah, I mean.
But continue.
But yeah, I mean, you would expect me to say, like, oh, you know, No More Heroes and, like, upgrading my, my Beam Katana or whatever. But no, I would say it was the social aspect of, for as much as I make fun of Miis, I have to say it was pretty fun in the initial couple months of excitement with the Wii, where you just, like, have someone's Mii from your friend's console show up on your Wii, and you're like, oh, that looks like a tranny, and as cheesy as it sounds, you know, how many of you out there tried to make Miis that looked like celebrities or characters?
Okay, you need to stop right now, because now I need to cut in and tell you mine, because I just changed what moment I was going to cite. The Wii, when it first went out to GameStops to have demo units.
Oh my god, I remember
me,
the story.
The guy I was dating at the time, and some of my closest friends, we all went to the GameStop, because we wanted to play a fucking Wii, dude. Like, there's this crazy motion-sensing console where you create a sort of digital abstraction of yourself. Like, holy shit, we have to play with that right now.
Yeah,
so
this was,
we went.
This was a couple months before launch, I think.
Yeah, this was months before launch. And we went. We had to give them our
driver's
license.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, obviously the first thing we did was we tried to make a Hitler Mii. We tried to make a Mii of Hitler.
And then...
we subsequently, you know, got kicked out of that fucking GameStop.
And I still haven't come back there, even though there's probably new people working there.
Yeah, because every time I go in, they look at me like, dude, you're the guy who made the Hitler meme. Oops. So, yeah, no, I get what you're saying, man. The social aspects, they were great. It was a lot of fun to be had in the last 5 or 6 years of the Wii. It's been a great time.
And, you know, we'll get into a little more of that, like the social aspect and, you know, other perspectives of the Wii as an entertainment system, you know, but let's continue with our discussion of this plan.
So, now I want to know, sort of the opposite of what we just discussed, what were your big disappointments of the Wii? Strip away your bias for a minute and just, you know, what... if you're being honest, what let you down?
I mean, honestly, not too much. I'd say that its online functionalities weren't maybe what it could have been. But, you know, Nintendo likes to take it slow. And the Wii U, Nintendo Network, or whatever name they're giving it, is looking like they're moving in the right direction. So, yeah, I mean, I think kind of the anticipation of the online features and, ooh, Wii Connect 24 and, you know, all the channels. I mean, it was all right, but, I mean, I don't think... I don't think it quite lived up to the expectation. And this is a very specific and random and kind of not super relevant to gaming thing, but the Netflix app or channel or whatever you want to call it for Wii was pretty bad.
Now, it's interesting you say that because, you know, statistically, Netflix has said several times that more people connect with their Wiis than any other device out there for streaming.
I think it's just the thing is that, you know, and I'm not saying this as a means of bashing on the Wii's graphics, but if you're watching Wii Netflix, it's not going to be in HD. And on a HD TV... I mean, like, yes, okay, well, Mario Galaxy isn't going to be in HD, I don't care, but I think I was streaming Full Metal Alchemist or something like that, and it was, like, a lot of, you know, artifacts and stuff, and it wasn't pretty, so, I mean, maybe that was just, I didn't give it a chance, but, you know, that would probably be my big disappointment. And I mean, the fact that it has nothing to do with the gaming experience of the Wii still speaks pretty highly of it, but I don't know.
You know, my big disappointment with the Wii, it's not overall a lack of third-party software, because I don't mind. I have 3 consoles, you know. I don't mind buying my Assassin's Creed games on the 360. My problem is, for all of the third-party games that are on the Wii, I'm very disappointed that none of them really tried to do much with it, outside of Ubisoft with the Just Dance games and the Raving Rabbids games. And also, you know, they did Red Steel, which was also kind of challenging and different. And I feel like the marketplace rewarded them for all of these experiments, but for whatever reason, still no one else really took initiative.
That's really interesting, because I hadn't thought of that. I mean... there's really probably so much more that could have been done with the motion controls that people didn't really think to explore. They're like, oh, well, Nintendo did it already with Wii Sports and Zelda and all that, so we're not going to try and be innovative. I mean, but the hope is that since the Wii U's going to support...
we'll talk about the Wii U.
So, I mean, so the hope is that can, you know... not just be given up on, but yeah, that's interesting. We really didn't see anything wildly innovative that Nintendo didn't already do in one of their first party titles.
Yeah. Well, that's our look back at the Wii. That was my original favorite moment, or that was my favorite part of the media blitz of Wii, was when they first announced the game and the entire internet for like 3 days were basically 5-year-olds. And I'll be honest, I fucking loved it. I can't wait to play with my Wii. Thanks, Nintendo. Wii. Ha ha. So if we looked at this discussion is three parts, and we just discussed the past, it's now time to discuss the present. E3 is in like a week and a half.
Oh, shit, girl.
By the time you're listening to this podcast out there in Radioland, it will probably be 1 week away. So, I want to ask you, what are the popular rumors that you've heard for what Nintendo has to show us at E3 this year?
Well, you did mention something earlier this episode about Star Fox and Metroid.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, that's sort of the big rumor. And, you know, I mean, some of this stuff is rumor-ish and, you know, also kind of factual. We know that there will be some representation of Pikmin 3, for example.
That's cool.
And my hope...
there might be some sort of teaser or who knows what of, you know, next Zelda, next Mario. We don't quite know.
I'm expecting a video teaser, honestly. I mean, maybe I shouldn't be expecting, but I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a video teaser of the next Smash Brothers game.
I was just thinking that as well, because there's been a lot of buzz about people being excited about it.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And, you know, Sakurai-san over at Sora now, they made Kid Icarus, and that launched back in March. And he said he was going to go straight from that into the next Smash Brothers. And if you look at sort of his portfolio... he had just wrapped some games about 3 months before the first video tease for Smash Brawl. So that was at E3-06, maybe? So I think it's possible that we could see a video tease for the next Smash Brothers for Wii U.
Not to backtrack a bit, but I just had another kind of... favorite, but also disappointment.
And what
to share?
And what was that?
You imported Smash Brawl, which it was called DX in Japan. Was that what it was called?
Some bullshit, yeah.
So, anyways, you imported it. So, like, of our gaming friends, like you, me, and a couple of our other buddies, were like the only people in our gamer. We were like the only people in our gaming nerd circle playing this game, a month before its domestic release. And we had a shit ton of fun. But then it came out domestically, and we're kind of like, oh, okay, we're done with Brawl now. Yeah. So I came over, like, a couple nights a week, I think. We were playing pretty epic hours-long Brawl tournaments.
Yeah, we rocked that game hard.
And then the game actually came out in America.
And it was just like, well, no thanks. We've had our fill.
And then they made Pit's voice lower pitched.
I still, when I play the U.S. version, I miss.
Oh my god, yeah, that was like the best part. Anyway, not to sidetrack too much, but I just thought of that when you were talking about Brawl teasers and that sort of thing. So,
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, the outlook for E3 this year, you know, I guess we're going to get our first real look at some games. Hopefully, you know, we'll definitely be seeing whatever's next for Mario. Previously, at last year, they had shown new Mario Brothers Wii U. And I'm wondering if that's going to change now that we've seen new Mario Brothers 2 for 3DS. It seems very strange to me that Nintendo would show two new Super Mario Brothers games.
And here's kind of a rumor I had heard, and I can't recall at the moment if we had talked about it, but wasn't the new Super Mario Brothers Wii U supposed to have playable Miis?
Yes.
I'm wondering if that'll be, like, a bundle game.
How do you mean?
Like... Think about, like, Pokemon Crystal or Pokemon Emerald.
Okay, so companion games.
So, not, I mean, you know, so people have, you know, people couldn't say, like, oh, it's not really a new game, but, so, you know, like, it could be, like, the same game, but maybe with some added levels. Maybe there's, like, a Star World or something, and you can play as Miis, but it's still the same game. And maybe remastered for HD. I don't know. I think if that was a bundle game, I'd be pretty okay with that.
Yeah, I'd even be okay with them selling it like that Final Fantasy X remake is supposed to be sold, where it's on Vita and PS3, and you can share a save between them.
Oh, now there's.
I'd be okay with that too for this new Mario Brothers project, especially if there was unique content to each of them, but they still shared a save. So the only way to have a most complete save would be to do all the content on both games.
And I think that's really an untapped potential. And I guess that's another. I mean, I don't mean to keep.
Well, that ties into what you and I were talking about on this podcast. An episode or two ago.
Disappointments, but I don't think that the DS Wii interaction went as far as it could have. And so, you know, my hopes for Wii U is that it really takes advantage of the 3DS.
If there's not a new motherfucking Four Swords game, I will rage.
Oh, yeah.
But I was going to say, you know, this sort of sharing a save across platforms sort of ties into the news that we discussed a few weeks ago that E3 was going to be, or E3, that EA was going to be doing sort of their game universes across platforms.
That's true, yeah.
So I guess I'm expressing that I'd like to see Nintendo use New Super Mario Brothers to sort of stake their own claim into that space. This sort of cross-platform, anywhere you go, you can advance your game and continue to enjoy it.
I think we're seeing a little bit of that with the Wii U controller. Like, it's time to watch RuPaul's Drag Race, but hey, I want to still keep playing my Mario game, so I'm going to do that.
Yep, just pop it to your controller, turn on, you know, the Queens, and have fun. Lip sync for your life.
Anyway, what's your next question for me?
So we talked a little bit about what we want and expect from E3. And in the interest of brevity, real quick, let's go over a few questions about the Wii U. And I want your opinion as an unabashed Nintendo fan. And we want to try and keep this quick, but I want to know, what Wii U games are you excited for already?
Obviously, a new Zelda. Obviously.
Of course.
You know, I'm actually more excited to see what third-party support we're going to see from it. Because the thing is, I know a new Mario is going to be amazing. I know a new Zelda, unless it's another Twilight Princess, is going to be amazing. I really am more excited to see, and I don't have any specifics for you right now, but I mean, I've heard rumors of Assassin's Creed in some form coming to Wii U.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's just going to be Assassin's Creed 3 or like a 1, 2, and 3 trilogy set or something like that. I don't know. But, you know, I'm kind of interested to see just more of what third-party support we're going to get.
And, you know, it's interesting. This week, Gearbox, the guys who are working on Aliens, Colonial Marines, the Aliens first-person game, they are doing a Wii U port, and they say that the Wii U port is the most technically impressive of all the platforms.
I've heard that from a couple, maybe it was the same one, but I feel like I've heard that from a couple developers.
Yeah, you know, the Darksiders 2 guys said that at one point in time. So that could be a thing. It might be. Maybe the third parties are going to bring it, which sort of ties into my next question, which was, for you to stay excited about the Wii U, what types of games does Nintendo need to secure and lock down for you?
Honestly, there's Zelda, Mario, Smash, Kart are all givens. So, I mean, they've already sold me. I mean, I'm going to be excited about it regardless. And I'll save my Nintendo rant for the very end of our discussion, but, you know, I don't feel like I, as a gamer, am owed anything by Nintendo. But, you know, that said, you know, I'd really be excited to see some, like, maybe some BioWare games coming to the Wii U.
Well, it's interesting, because you sort of beat me to my last question on this for you, which is, you know, not that this is going to happen, but history dictates that it's worth consideration. How would you feel about the prospect of another generation of hardware where Nintendo is the sole party keeping it afloat? How would you feel about that, if that's what this turned out to be?
You know, it's going to be interesting to see, because, you know, we've got the PS3 and 360 are starting to do pretty respectable sales numbers at this point in their lifespans, and I think, you know, that's owed to some of the motion control and that sort of thing, and, you know, just, you know, larger libraries coming out, but I mean, still, Nintendo is still dominating, and, you know, even if Microsoft and Sony do put out their follow-up consoles in the next year or two, I still think that Nintendo's going to have a pretty good chance, and I'm okay with that, because the thing is, Nintendo consoles and handhelds sell well for a reason. It's not just because, like, you know, it's not just, oh, they're selling. It's because they are good. I mean, hello. I feel like sometimes people don't understand that. They wouldn't be the top-selling consoles and handhelds if they weren't great. And, I mean, I'm getting into my rant a little bit early, so I'll let you...
Well, we're basically at the end of our Nintendo discussion, so if you want to rant...
Oh, I was about to rant last time, if you may recall. You know, I just started to get into it a little bit about how, you know, the more core gamers, the hardcore, whatever you want to call it. I would say that you're part of that, you know.
Oh, thanks.
Well, I mean, no, I don't mean mentality-wise, but I mean, you're a pretty hardcore gamer. I'm semi-hardcore gamer.
I played 56 hours of Diablo 3 last week, if that means anything.
So, you know, I'm saying this in comparison to, I'm a 40-year-old mom who's going to play Wii Sports. The casual gamer. I mean, I would say by comparison, we're both pretty hardcore. But, you know, I have this real problem with the hardcore community feel that, oh, well, we're owed, you know... It's about time Nintendo finally catches up to the present technology and, you know, makes the graphics in HD and actually has some real games for it. I don't know, I take offense to that, because, I mean, first of all, you have to look at the Wii, which, I mean, I still think even when the Wii U was launched, the Wii itself, especially, you know, with the family edition being at a nice price for families who don't care about GameCube compatibility.
How dare you!
Well, yeah, I mean, I still will defend the GameCube with my life. Despite it. Why?
No, continue.
No, I love the GameCube. And, I mean, I'm just saying, I think, you know, the Wii is going to continue to have respectable sales numbers. But, I mean, the thing that you have to really think about, and, I mean... And this is why I think, you know, I almost take offense when people are, like, outright hateful towards Nintendo. NES was really... I mean, if we didn't have NES, we probably wouldn't have PS3. We probably wouldn't have 360. They pretty much... NES was, or Famicom if you prefer, that was really like the renaissance of gaming, and it's just, you know, gone from there. And as far as the Wii is concerned, because, I mean, I know the N64 was shit all over. I know the GameCube gets a lot of hate, despite being a way better console than the PlayStation 2, in my opinion. But, I mean, you have to think about it. The Wii is not only the best-selling Nintendo console since the NES, which, I mean, NES was just like a cultural phenomenon, But, I mean, the Wii is the best-selling console of all time.
Well, that's not strictly true. I think the PS2's lifetime numbers might be a little higher.
Well, maybe I was just talking about Nintendo consoles, because other consoles don't matter.
Okay, well, I mean, within the context of this conversation, I think that was obvious, but I had to troll you on it.
No, okay. And but clarify. You do have a point, but, I mean, really, I mean, at least looking at the current generation, and, I mean, definitely within the scope of Nintendo's own console releases, and it's just, I'm sorry, if the Wii was such a big piece of shit, then why is it almost sold 100 million consoles at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I think you make a valid point. I certainly am a, you know, I'm a big fan of the Wii. I love that thing, and I think it has sold for a reason.
And the thing is that, yeah, it's not HD, so what? I'm just getting so tired. I mean, yes, a pretty game is nice. Assassin's Creed games are gorgeous, probably some of the most gorgeous games. That doesn't mean that Wind Waker, a standard definition GameCube game, is not equally as gorgeous for different reasons. And I think a fair amount of people would agree with me that it doesn't have to, a game doesn't have to be photorealistic to be a good-looking game, but
I think a surprising number of people, unfortunately, don't understand that until it's shown to them.
And, you know, my thing is that, okay, if you're someone who's into, like, mainly just Call of Duty and Uncharted and God of War, if you're, like, a Sony bro and that's what you like and you don't like motion control boom blocks, or you don't like Mario Galaxy, okay, I can respect that. But if you're someone out there who's just like, oh, well, Nintendo hardware always looks like, always puts out shit graphics, pumps out shitty graphics out of its toilet processor, whatever whatever that dude said that we were talking about last time. It's like, I'm sorry, if you don't like Nintendo, it's one thing to be like, you know, that's not really my bag. I can do that, but to just shit on Nintendo for making business choices that they, first of all, they're business choices that they want to make.
Well, that have been perfectly validated at this point,
certainly. And honestly, yes, the business choices that have obviously been really sound business choices, because look at their sales numbers. So, I mean, obviously, they're doing something right. If you don't really care for what they're doing, I understand that. But to outright say that their consoles are shit or that they're a stupid company, I just think that's really uncalled for. And I unfortunately think that we see a lot of it in the kind of Kotaku bro community. So, that's my Nintendo rant, you know. And yes, I'm biased, but I'm grew up a Nintendo fanboy. I will continue to be a Nintendo fanboy until the day I die, most likely.
Something that I've been really looking forward to, sort of, since we've done this whole Nintendo talk, I really want to ask you listeners, if you've made it this far, please, 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 write into us. Send us an email, a well-typed-out paragraph. What do you think about Nintendo? If you have quarrel with them, why? I am eager to understand. Not only would you be helping us do good radio, you'd be helping me understand what is the problem with Nintendo. I don't get it, because I feel like they're pretty good and generally do a good job.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you just think that my ranting was just me having a hissy fit, and if you think so, then have your own hissy fit.
This bitch up in here having conniptions.
Then you can have your own hissy fit about why I'm wrong. Either way, what we're saying is that we'd like to hear what you think, because clearly there is a large part of the gaming community that thinks Nintendo's doing wrong, or that they're selling themselves short, or whatever you want to say about it.
So you can email us, Slagkick. What are those email addresses?
Captain Spikes is cpt.spike@gamebuie.org.
cpt.spike@gamebuie.org.
And mine is Slagkick, at gamebuoy.org.
Slagkick at gamebuoy.org. Once again, that is gamebuoy.org.
I'm so glad you said that because I was starting to forget what our URL was.
Yeah, right? Well, I figure if I just say it enough, people will start going. I'm just going to make it happen. Yeah, magical
so,
thinking.
So please, let us know what your thoughts are, because we're clearly biased, and, you know, maybe someone might have a little less biased perspective on it and be able to shed light onto why Nintendo is meh.
So, in a spirit of good favor, we, this week, are not going to do many of your favorite segments.
What?
Say what? We're going to post a link on our site. Kotaku put out, you know, a pretty well-researched article.
Okay, to be fair, it took two people to write it.
Okay, that's true. But, you know, they put out a pretty well-researched report, article on Kurt Schilling's studio.
Yes.
What was that all about?
That was kind of sad.
Yeah, I mean, 38 studios got, you know, they got shut down after Kingdoms of Amalur failed to meet sales projections of 3 million units. Jesus Christ, what new IP sells 3 million units in this day and age? So, but, you know, Kotaku did a great job. They put the numbers up. They did a little reporting. So, good on you guys.
Yeah, they actually, I cannot really think of anything to pick on. You know, this really reminds me of Team Bondi's, what happened with Team Bondi and...
Oh, certainly. I mean, as far
LNR,
as the...
yeah.
As far as the actual news goes, definitely. I mean, you have a game here that sold 1.3 million units in, you know, 2.5 months. That's pretty good for a new IP, but apparently, you know, it was just as Rob Roberts said to me on Twitter, you know, it sounds like there might have been some serious mismanagement going on over there.
Yeah.
But that doesn't, unfortunately, that doesn't lessen the sadness of these folks losing their jobs and, you know, I thought Kingdoms of Amalur was a great game, so I think it's very sad to see that
studio's
in that position.
I was surprised because, you know, with the demo, like, if you played through the demo, you got an unlock in Mass Effect 3. I thought for sure that would, like, really, people who really wanted, like, all their, like, unlocks and stuff would really get into that.
Well, and that might, in turn, that might be why it got, you know, 1.3 million sales in the first place. Because that is a lot for a new IP. But still, just terribly sad to see a good game and a studio that did good work go punished. So, Game Buoy's thoughts are with those guys. We hope everything goes well for them. You're in our hearts, and hopefully,
I did see a pretty heartwarming, in a way, article that was in relation to this. And we'll put that up as well. Apparently, Twitter has... Well, not Twitter, the company, but, you know, the gamers on Twitter have really kind of rallied behind the employees of 38 Studios. And they did, like, a 38 Studios hashtags or something like that. And they're trying to help these guys, you know, help them find new jobs in the industry.
That's awesome. You know, it's times like this that I feel super good about being a gamer. Like, we care for our own. Some of us are dicks, but overall, you know, we try to do the right thing.
You know, I do have something to say, and this is not anything about Kotaku's writing, but because our Lol-taku segment is often snarky, I feel like I do have to throw a little bit of snark in here. The governor of Rhode Island, because this is a Rhode Island-based studio, said, I was, like, you know, totally hands-off with this. Because, you know, there had been some, like, government loans from
the government. Largely financed through loans from the government of Rhode Island, which, you know, this governor Chaffee was opposed to.
And I take issue with, like, I don't know this guy, I don't follow Rhode Island politics, but he was talking about, you know, the fact that he was always opposed to the loan, and he said, oh, I was hands-off the whole time, and, you know, that he wasn't aware of this, and he said, oh, I didn't meddle. If I did meddle, there wouldn't be all of this violence, all this horrible sexism in games. I'm like, what type of, like, Tipper Gore bullshit is that?
Right?
Parental advisory.
I agree with you, but I also see where he's coming from. It's probably inappropriate for, you know, a state-funded game to sort of be T for teen or M for mature or whatever.
Yeah, that's true, but...
Anyway, we need to wrap this up. We've gone long.
Yeah.
We just enjoy talking to y'all so much that we just keep going and going and going.
Yeah, you know, it's probably good that we didn't have a proper little talk to you because...
We'd be here for another 30 minutes.
Yeah, and also the little, jingle... Those little children that we make say that demand a lot of money.
Yeah, they are demanding bitches.
They are threatening to go to, like, a... pull some, like, child labor law bullshit on us. It's not cool.
So, our next episode is going to be Game Buoy's first annual E3 blowout! Yes, hopefully that did destroy your speakers. We're going to look at all the news through our uniquely pop-culturally informed brand of constructive bitchiness. So look forward to that, guys. We're not going to be focused on just the niche stuff for that one week. And hopefully we're going to have a lot of fun, try to bring you some, you know, some stuff you probably aren't hearing too much about otherwise. And we're definitely going to make hella fun of Halo 4, because let's be real, there's a fourth Halo game already. And really, it's like the sixth, because there was Reach and ODST, too.
Yeah, you know,
We give our shout-outs, as always, to...
I just have to say, before we give our shout-outs, yes. I have one thing that I'm really hoping for.
Okay, what are you hoping for?
And I'm praying to the E3 gods.
What are you praying to the E3 gods for?
A really bad Sony conference. Ridge Racer!
Well, let's be fair.
Hey, come on, guys!
If we don't get it from Sony, we'll get it from Konami. So either way, we're going to get at least one bad one. Let's be real. I'm just hoping it's not Nintendo. Because they haven't had a bad one in a while.
Are you kidding? Nintendo's E3 keynotes are always like the...
Bitch Vitality Sensor. Defend the Vitality Sensor.
So we'd like to give some shout-outs to, you know, some of our friends out there in podcast land. Orange Lounge Radio has been...
Constant inspiration, doing their thing.
And they're doing their thing on the Voice of Geeks Network, VOG. And it's really cool, you know, go in and chat with them live. It's really, I think, a cool...
Yeah, they podcast live. I couldn't even imagine.
Yeah, yeah. One of these days we're going to do it, and it's going to be a hot mess.
Flop. Yeah, it's going to be J-Lo on American Idol bad.
Yeah. We'd like to, of course, give our love and props to the Nerdgasm Network.
Yeah, another set of guys whom, you know, tangentially at least, without whom we wouldn't exist.
Yeah, I mean, especially Wicked over there. And, you know, we'd like to also ask you, as we solicit your love, if you have any podcasts that you think our listeners should be listening to, please let us know. Because, you know, there might be something that we might not be really aware of that you're really into.
Yeah, guys, boost the signal. By all means, we, you know, love listening to you guys, too. That's why we do this. It's a big part of why we're a part of this community. So by all means, reach out to us if you want, you know, and let's see what we can make happen.
And speaking of begging you on our knees, please like us on Facebook.
Please like us on Facebook. We're not popular enough.
The thing is that you need to get a certain amount of likes in order to get your own, like, URL. And we really don't want the thing to happen that happened with Twitter, where some random guy in Colorado or whatever has the Game Buoy handle on Twitter. And it's going to probably this time be like someone from Malaysia who's trying to spell Game Boy and just can't spell. So please let us get our name and like our page on Facebook. You can search for us on GameBooey. Please give us a 5-star rating on iTunes.
We're on fucking iTunes.
We are, and if you don't subscribe to us there, subscribe to us. You know, we are iTunes fans.
Oh my god, my leg is asleep. We have to cut this off.
Okay, so tweet at us. We already gave you our emails and Twitter earlier. And remember, you can go to GameBooey.org.
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 GameBooey.org. Okay, guys, thank you for listening so much. You guys mean everything to us. You're why we keep, you know, coming back here every other week to talk to you guys, because you're awesome. Keep playing, stay having fun, keep thinking for yourself, and we'll see you next time, Space Cowboy.
Yeah. I think we're off to get some Taco Bell and play some Diablo 3.
Damn right.